We are continuing with Engaging God. This four-session series on Ketubah is probably one of the most important that I've done for us moving forward in the purposes of God individually and corporately. We're on a pathway of relationship, and this is the end of that pathway that will lead us into the pathway of responsibility. But we've learned that heaven is flowing through us as we are a gateway of our spirit, soul, and body to flow around the world to bring life wherever it goes. And in the next section, we're going to learn about a deeper relationship with God and discover that there is so much more for us to experience. And as we open our first love gate and invite God's presence, as Jesus is knocking and he wants us to open, we invite him to be on the throne of our lives. We have that river of life flowing, then it's to flow through all our gateways. And as we've been looking at gateways, we've looked at understanding of gateways, using the cord of accusation to clean and cleanse our gateways, various things in cleansing our gateways, using communion in that process. And now we're on the four chambers of the heart. And as we've seen, as we deal with familiar spirits, then we have access to a deeper relationship with God. And we're going to look at the garden of our heart, the dance floor, soaking room, bridal chamber. But to do that, we need an understanding of Ketubah, the marriage relationship. Just to recap, God does not choose us on the basis of our good works, our past performance, or history, just as well for most of us. Actually, he chooses us in spite of all that, because he has an eternal destiny for every single person in this room, in relationship with him. Romans 5:10, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son Jesus on the cross, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And that word saved has a full perspective of wholeness, provision, protection, health, forgiveness. We will be saved in an ongoing relationship because he's chosen us. 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God, who has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame things which are strong, the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things which are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. It's all about God. We can't do anything in our own strength, but if we yield, he's chosen weak things. We don't have to be strong. Our strength comes from him. We just have to yield to his purpose in our lives, to our destiny. So God is desiring a marriage relationship with us. A ketubah is a marriage contract made under a hoopah or a covering cloud of God's presence. Jesus went to the cross to prepare a place for us. Read about that in John 14. A marriage chamber in us of relationship. He was resurrected and he came back so that we could have a wedding. A place where we could engage in a deeper relationship with God ongoing. So to make a ketubah, we need to understand God's promises and purpose, and we looked at lots of those last week in a love letter written in the Word of God to us by Jesus that describes who and he is and all he's done for us. We need to understand the new covenant, which becomes the basis of our ketubah. Our ketubah needs to be made in light of our destiny scroll, that which was formed in God's heart and agreed with our spirit in eternity. And we need to align what we believe about God and our lives with that eternal perspective that comes from God. Psalm 139:16. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. So everything has been prepared. The question is, will we come into alignment with it? Verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. And as we engage with God in deeper intimacy, the more that vast sum of his thoughts about us get revealed, day by day, every day he will reveal more of our purpose and God's plan for us and the relationship and the intimacy if we engage him. It says in the Word of God that if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us, because he's already drawn near and he's made the invitation for us to draw near to him, which he always responds to. So we can find our true identity and have progressive revelation of our blueprint or our scroll for our lives every day. He will reveal something new. He will show us what it is and our purpose for each day if we will surrender and submit to it and engage him for it. So we can produce our ketubah, our marriage contract, from that context. So the ketubah is about our expectations of our relationship with God in that marriage and our destiny and purpose within that relationship. We need to know what our expectations are, because if it's black and not known, then we're going every day, in a sense, with not the light revealed. God wants us to be children of light, as he is light, so that that revelation of that light can be revealed. But it comes in relationship. So in relationship, we seek first his kingdom in righteousness, which means out of our first love for him, and then all God's promises become available to us. But the promises of God become available to us in relationship and in fulfilling our destiny, not to do what we want. That's the pathway that the enemy offered to Adam and Eve and that they accepted. And it's the pathway we've all been on, separated from God. And God wants to restore us to the pathway of the tree of life, not the pathway of the tree of the knowledge, good and evil. So we're in him and we're in his name. Therefore, we have the power of eternity to operate as his children, as co-heirs and joint heirs in the kingdom of God. So Genesis 1:28, which was essentially the mandate that was given to Adam and Eve, God blessed them, God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. That is still the mandate that we have today as his children. That mandate forms the basis of our expectations. So we're blessed by God, so we can expect him to empower us to succeed and prosper to the highest level. And what is the highest level? For us, individually, it's all different, because we're all uniquely made with a purpose. The highest level for each of us is to fulfill the destiny that God's given us. And he will empower us to do that. So the ketubah becomes the basis of that covenant exchange, where God gives us everything we need if we give our lives to him to fulfill. And we can trade into that and expect a response. So whenever we have need of anything from God to fulfill his purpose, and so that we can outwork that, he'll give it to us. If we believe it, and we operate in faith according to it. So we trust him by surrendering to our destiny. He provides, protects, empowers, and blesses us to prosper and succeed to that highest level. So what do we put into our ketubah? Everything that will bring the fulfillment of our eternal destiny, the expectation of the availability of all the resources necessary to enable us to fulfill God's purpose on a daily basis. It then becomes the foundational truth and reality from which we live. We live according to it. So we then can frame our lives in accordance with those expectations, those hopes. And we'll see that faith becomes the substance of those hopes. So your ketubah will enable you to rule in life and not be subject to the circumstances around you or under them. So it's absolutely important that we spend time engaging God about this ketubah. Spend time with him. Seek God about it. Ask him, what is it I should put in this relationship, this marriage contract? So that then that will form the basis of what you live. So formulate it. Then we can become joined to him in that new covenant marriage relationship. Now, most of us may have had an inkling of some of this, and you may have done this sort of anyway in the things you've been doing, but not done it specifically. And so you've been living in the benefit of the things that you've come into agreement with in your own mind and with God's heart, but he wants you to be more specific now, because we've got more things for us to do. So we're going to look at a corporate ketubah, the example of our draft ecclesia ketubah, which we're working on at the moment. I'm going to share some of my personal example of the ketubah I wrote. We're going to learn how to use that ketubah to frame our lives, and then how to frame or create our reality in alignment with our destiny. That's what God wants us to do. So as a church, we have a blueprint. That blueprint was given to us by God. We use that blueprint to establish our church ketubah. We use the expectations of God so that we can fulfill our blueprint and bring glory to God as heirs, co-heirs, and sons of God. So that's our church blueprint. I'm not going to go into that today, but it's not a flat two-dimensional picture. You need to look into it. And if you look into it, you'll see there is a foundation on which we build, which is the heavenly bench of three, the Father, Son, and Spirit. That on that foundation, we have a bench of three, the government of on earth, heaven on earth. We have a bench of seven. We have a seven mountain governmental spheres, and we have our bench of 12. And it's increasing and widening because there is no end to the increase of his government. So we form our ketubah on the basis of that. So our church contract has certain scriptural expectations, and there are lots of Bible scriptures you could use. There's just a few of them. Matthew 18:20, two or three gathered, he'll be there. Now we need to hold him to that. So he is here right now. His presence is here differently from just being anywhere else, because we gather with an expectation. Psalm 22:3, he will inhabit our praises. So he will come and fill the praises, and that will open up a realm for us to experience. Matthew 16:18, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. It's a promise. 2 Corinthians 9:8, he will provide enough grace for all our needs and an abundance for all the good deeds that he's prepared for us to do. So grace is his divine enabling power. Genesis 28:18, to live under an open heaven in the overlap of heaven and earth. It's an expectation. We can also use God's prophetic words and revelation to us to remind him of them in our ketubah, because he's spoken so many prophetic words to us over the years. We need to use those and bring that expectation of fulfillment. So the promise of six spiritual rivers flowing out of heaven that we can engage whenever we gather. And those six spiritual rivers flow out from over the stage and flow into the room. And if you don't know what they are, you can go back and look at some of the teaching on it. But those are things we can experience. God's presence will be constantly with us, part of our ketubah. Our gatherings will be an open heaven and an angelic landing strip. Again, prophetically spoken to us. The presence of the four angels of the new order and the seven spirits of God and the cloud of witnesses. To be a place where dreams, visions, and blueprints of destiny are released. There will be an increasing intimacy in our relationship with God. God will enable the success of our blueprint. God will provide and supply all resources needed to fulfill our blueprint. God will provide health, safety, and protection. God's faithfulness will be seen. Now, we're working in developing these into a thing that we were going to have a marriage ceremony with. And so these are people's expectations. When we gather, we ask, okay, what should we put in our ketubah? And these were some of the things that people felt. God's faithfulness will be seen. God's favor and blessings will be released. God will provide all the revelation we need to fulfill what we're called to do. There will be guidance and direction and revelation through multiple witnesses of confirmation, not just through one person. God will honor our eternal destiny. That all things will be possible to him who believes. That God will trust us with. And we can add lots of things in that. God will hear us when we speak. God will give us wisdom. We will have supernatural power and authority. We will have an environment that enables constant growth and fruitfulness. There will be transformational power will be available in our environment. God will partner with us to bring life, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. Salvations will be released. We will receive a ring of sonship and authority to rule over creation. We will be the head and not the tail. The frequencies of heaven will be emanating from us. God will open access to multiple dimensions for us. Earth and all created dimensions will be our inheritance. We will be an embassy of heaven where everything we do would create an atmosphere of repentance, health, healing that will reach beyond our physical footprint to other parts of the world. We will be part of raising up mature sons, the Joshua generation. We'll have the ability to access all areas of the heavenly realms of heavenly government, the mountains, the thrones, and the spheres of government that we need. We'll have charge of the courts of heaven. We'll have authority to release and legislate God's laws from the heavenly realms. We'll have access to Satan's trophy room to get back things that have been robbed and stolen. That we will be able to fulfill our part in establishing and administering a city of refuge, which is part of what God has called us to do. We'll have the ability to access the Ark of God and be a representation of the four faces of God, the lion, ox, eagle, and man, in kingly, prophetic, apostolic, and priestly government. The ability to access God's heart in eternity. The ability to access the river of life, the tree of life, the throne of grace, the garden of God, and the judgment seat. To be a fertile place where gifts of the Spirit are manifested and fruit of the Spirit grows. To see kingdom manifestations of health, sozo, salvation, power, signs and wonders. To access all the resources necessary to be an apostolic resource for the Joshua generation to operate in legislative government. To live under the law of fatherhood and sonship, where the laws of inheritance, restitution, recognition are in operation. Now, these are laws which we've established and made in the realms of heaven, and we need to administrate. To ability to access the 12 chancellor's houses, the authority to align the circle of the deep and bring God's government to the created order. Now, you might not understand a lot of that, but that is what we're having as an expectation of fulfillment, so that everyone will be able to benefit from that as we establish that in agreement with God. So my personal ketubah expectations, essentially to have everything I need to fulfill my destiny, the dreams and visions that God's given. I wrote this in 2011-2012 and went through a dark cloud experience where this got unveiled and outworked. And so some of the things I've written are already fulfilled. In fact, a lot of them are already fulfilled, but there are some that still need work. So I'm going to share some of the 48 points that I wrote, and one of those 48 points were 20 direct dreams and visions that I've seen myself doing, and God has shown me that I'll do. It's just one line, but it contains 20 things that are relevant to me. So, to have my scroll of destiny fulfilled, to live in full health and wholeness, body, soul, and spirit, to live in and from rest, knowing God in the fullness of his names, to fulfill my 20 dreams, to be transfigured into a fully metamorphosed son of light, to be a manifested son of God on the earth, to rule as a Lord of lords in the kingdom of God, to rule as a king of kings in the kingdom of heaven, to live in fulfilled marriage, body, soul, and spirit, to have my children and grandchildren follow their destinies in God, to fulfill your desires for me, that's God's desires, to access the timeline, to reside over the courts of the heavenly realms, to have my full faculties restored as intended before the fall of the first creation, to ascend the 9 fire stones of God into full sonship. Now again, you may not understand a lot of this, but for me, this is stuff that I do on a daily basis now. And so I've experienced a lot of these things. To operate the trading floors of the heavenly realms, to have my DNA restored to its 12 strands, to access all the rooms in the mountain of God needed to fulfill my destiny. And there are many, many rooms in the mountain of God. And I don't get to see all of them, because I only need to go to the ones that are needed for me to fulfill my destiny. So lots of people say to me, have you been to this place and that place? And I'm like, no. And probably won't, because actually that's your place where your destiny will be fulfilled. But there are places that I can engage. To rule the 7 thrones of my personal mountains, to call forth destiny in many sons and daughters, to raise up people to take their position as lords, kings, and sons, to help raise up a Joshua generation and equip the Jesus generation, to be part of an apostolic resource center. Now remember, this was written in 2011. So a lot of these things were then just dreams and things that I knew were part of my destiny. Now I'm actually part of and in fulfillment of. To know and be fully tutored by the 7 spirits of God, to tend and cultivate the garden of my heart, to fully access the 4 chambers of my heart and live in true intimacy. Now, when I started this, I hadn't accessed any of them. Now I've accessed all 4 of them. To see the person of God's face, face to face, beyond the dark veil. And eventually I was able to do that. To fully function with the angelic realm, to relate and interact with my personal angels and the church angels, to engage with the heavenly host, to walk in cooperation and relationship with the men in white linen, to radiate and manifest the presence of him who is, was, and is to come, to live as a speaking creative spirit, calling forth using creative thoughts and speech, to be joined to the Lord and become one spirit with him, to be a son of God, a brother of Jesus, a friend of the Holy Spirit, to do the greater works of Jesus, to create galaxies just like Jesus and bring light to the universe. Now some of the things, whoa, these are big things. Well, yeah, why not? There's no end to the increase of his government. If I'm going to be a co-heir and do things like Jesus, why shouldn't I do the things that he did? And, you know, I've done some of those things. So my expectation is that if I seek first his kingdom in righteousness, that means love being the motive of my heart, he will provide, protect, empower, direct my life. So my ketubah enables me to frame my life from my blueprint and every daily mandate I receive. So I don't leave things to chance and just have, well, I've done this so it will work out. I administrate it as a son of God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So if we're producing a ketubah, we must believe that God is going to respond to that ketubah in a favorable way in our marriage relationship. In other words, he's going to keep his end of the deal. If you don't believe that, there's no point producing a ketubah, because it will just be words on a page that you don't believe. So we must believe that in faith God will respond when we come to him. So, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance or the substance of things hoped for. So everything we put in our ketubah is something we're hoping for. And faith will become the substance which manifests that. So we have a conviction of the things we may not have yet seen, but believe, and we will see them. Hence, you know, 2011, in writing my ketubah, I hadn't seen the majority of things that I wrote. Now I would say I have seen the majority of the things I've written, because I believed, and I pursued, and God unveiled it so that I could receive it. So we must use our ketubah. It will produce faith, and then we operate in that faith, and we will see manifestation. So Genesis 1:28 is the mandate with my basic foundation. So I frame my life according to God's mandate and purpose to bless and empower me to prosper and to succeed, to be fruitful, to multiply, to increase, to be an overcomer, to subdue and to rule. To rule with provision, protection, power, direction, health, to fulfill my destiny. So I have that is my expectation of every day. So we need to use our ketubah then to frame our lives. And what I mean by framing our life is to form the boundaries of our reality. Because God has given us the power. And if you look into quantum physics and all that stuff, our thoughts have the power to create the reality in alignment with God's perspective. Or with our perspective. And most of us have created our reality out of our past experience, rather than out of God's eternal perspective. So what we believe gives us our frame of reference. So we need to frame what we believe through our ketubah. We can then create our daily reality by framing it with our thoughts and our words. As we engage in heaven, we have access to the mountains and thrones of heaven, the courts of heaven, which we can actually create the reality which lines up with God's purpose for us on a daily basis. So you may have a wonderful looking frame of reference, and all you'll see is black. Or you may have a rosy form of reference, which actually will show you light. It depends how you see yourself and how you see yourself in a relationship with God. There are many, many frames of reference that you can have. I want my frame of reference to come from God's destiny that he's prepared for me, from my new covenant relationship with intimacy with him. So you can frame your life in darkness, and all you'll get is darkness. Or you can frame it with light, and the revelation that gets unveiled will be revealed in light. So each day I frame my life to succeed with God's favor and blessing all around me. So I'm full faith that all I need to fulfill my mandated purpose today will be given to me. And I have a total expectation of that. So time is framed to contract and expand around me to enable me to complete the work God has assigned me. I couldn't do what I'm doing now without that reality. Because I'm doing way more than what is humanly possible. Because I'm doing all that I was doing before and much, much more. Because I take on everything God calls me to do. And I've struggled with this. Because I've looked at it through the wrong frame when I started out. So I looked at God was saying, I want you to do this. And I looked at it framed from, I haven't got time to do it. So I can't do it because I haven't got time to do it, but God was telling me I can do it. So I had to change my frame of reference to look at it from his perspective, because if he says I can do it, I can do it. So if something that used to take me 8 hours to do, I can now do in half an hour, then what's happened? Has time expanded or is time contracted? Either of them is possible. So in my half an hour, in the realms of heaven, because heaven operates on a different time frame, I can do way more than I can do here, which is why I spend most of my time going there. So then what I do here operates so much quicker and easier. So I am never too busy to do all he desires to do through me. Never. Why would I ever be too busy? Because time functions according and around my life. I actually administrate time. So I've never not got enough time. I always have enough time, therefore I'm never too busy. I always have the resources necessary available to me to enable me to solve every problem, to subdue every situation, to overcome every obstacle and every hindrance that the enemy might put in my way. Because the enemy does put things in our way. And again, the way we look at that, it will be an opportunity to overcome it, or it will be an opportunity to draw back from it. So if we see something as a stepping stone to success, we will see it with a different frame of reference. So I don't mind having obstacles. I just grow stronger in overcoming them. So I frame my day and my night so that I have all the rest my soul and body needs, because my spirit doesn't need any rest. My spirit is eternal and does not need rest. So my spirit can operate in the heavenly realms all the time, day and night. But my soul and body need rest. So I frame my day and my night that I will have all that rest. I set the agenda for my sleep. So I'm not interrupted by things in my sleep, because I set the agenda. I set angels and I engage my spirit in heaven and I go to a place of rest. So I'm continually connected to heaven's created light source. Heaven operates in creative light. That operates at a faster speed than created light. So if you engage in heaven, everything's always now for you. So everything is always available first or before in heaven. So I talk to people all day when I'm here in the office. I'm engaging people all over the world. I'm engaging them. They're asking me questions that I don't know the answers to in a natural sense. And if I had to figure it out from a natural sense, I would take a long time to give them an answer. So I actually draw from the answers where my spirit is in heaven and release them. So I don't even think about what I'm going to say to people. I just say it because it's available to me in heaven and can be released through what I say. And then I write out a lot of the things I say because I've never said them before. And I think, well, that sounds really good. I'll remember that. And I do. I have scribblings all over my desk of the things that I say that come out of heavenly wisdom that didn't come out of a natural source of wisdom that I had already in my heart. Now, I do have knowledge, but I'm not reliant on knowledge from an intellectual perspective. I want everything available in heaven to be instantly accessible so that it flows through my life. Therefore, I'm able to have everything that I'm going to need ready and waiting when I need it. That's my expectation. I frame that. I speak that into existence. So as a gateway of heaven on the earth, which we all are, that can flow through me into this realm. So the seven spirits of God are actively releasing wisdom and knowledge and understanding and counsel and strength and authority from a higher and superior realm into my life, because my spirit is in that realm now. You know, my soul and body are here, but my spirit is in that realm. Therefore, that can flow into this realm from a higher realm. So I'm not subject to circumstances. Now, circumstances happen. But I frame my day to enable me either to overcome those circumstances or stop them happening if they're negative. So I'm the head and not the tail. Very biblical perspective. Circumstances change to enable me to live in rest and peace and to fulfill my daily mandates before God. I have an expectation of that. Why? Because I have a ketubah that I live from. And I have a relationship with God in which he reveals that destiny to me every day. I go and ask him, what am I supposed to do today? And when he reveals that, then I'm in full faith that I will be able to fulfill it. So as I seek first his kingdom in righteousness, I have a full expectation that he will add all that I need. But you have to believe it. And you have to administrate it so that it works in your life. So I am that I am, which is who God is. It's what he says his name is, lives in me. He lives in all of us. But are we aware of it? And we are aware of what that means. Having access to I am, that enables me to live and succeed from the perspective of God's heart and eternity. Because I've learned to go back into that place where I was created and experience life from that perspective. So as I engage there, I engage in what was. Now, what was is only a thing to help us understand that it's always now in eternity. But then I align myself in what is, and I will create what will be. I'm a history maker every day. So are you. But what history are you making? Are you aligning so history aligns with God's eternal purpose, or are you aligning with your past? So you're just going around the same old cycles and creating the same old history. Or do you want to change? Do you want your future to be different from your past? Well, you frame it. Don't allow your past to rob you of your future. Take authority over it. Align it so that I create the end and the beginning so they look the same. That completes that circle, that ancient pathway, that covenant walk that we can walk in the ancient past. So I am all that I need to be. I possess all that I need to have to be blessed and prosperous. So at all times and all circumstances, I will have all grace, which is God's divine enabling power. That will meet all my needs and enable me to do all the good works that have been prepared for me so I can bring glory and honor to God. And that's what it's all about. It's all about bringing glory and honor to God. I really aren't interested in what people think of me or whatever. It's about God. So if I do something that brings light into the world, that light will reflect on God, not for me. So we need to humble ourselves, get out of the way, but also know that we're called as sons to do those things that will bring glory to him. So I have a full expectation of succeeding each day, as my day is subject to my rule and I don't leave it to chance. I align my life with my scroll of destiny. I'm not by my generational history because I'm a living sacrifice. I sacrifice all that. I will be fulfilled and satisfied, content and filled with love and joy and peace. That's my expectation. I live according to my eternal destiny, fully embraced my destiny in God's kingdom. So I'm the answer to creation's groan as a manifested son, as all of us can be. I expect to bring order back into God's creation because I'm his son. I expect Jesus as my high priest after the order of Melchizedek to prepare me to serve him. I just have to give him the raw material. I give him my life and ask him to prepare me to serve as I yield and surrender to his will each day. I accept the responsibility of sonship and my roles within his heavenly and earthly kingdom. He's my head, and I accept the responsibility of his government upon my shoulders. We can't just seek intimacy without the responsibility of sonship. Intimacy will lead us to responsibility. So daily I decree and declare that I am, here I am, send me. I want to serve his purpose, so I make myself available day and night. You know, I love the things I do at night when I'm asleep. Sometimes I wake up with the memory of them because my spirit is active in heaven even when I'm physically resting. And sometimes I get glimpses and other people tell me that they saw me doing things in heaven. And I sort of quiz them and find out, okay, well, what did I do? And then sometimes I'll be interested to go and find out and ask God to reveal some of the things I was doing. Because you can consciously connect to that. I'm in the process of learning how to do that more actively. So I open my heart to God on a daily basis. I ask that he would write on the tablets of my heart and unveil and reveal his will for me. Then once that's unveiled, the desires of my heart would be aligned with his desires and would direct and guide me and draw me towards that destiny every day. So I stand in God's heart in eternity, that my spirit will be programmed by his thoughts about me. All those vast sum of thoughts, Everything that's been written in that scroll, I want it to be outworked around my life. So I stand in eternity. There is no sin in eternity. Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. So that's that. The fact that there's no sin, there are no filters that filter the light of truth, so that that truth can become my reality. I don't take my head back there. If you take your head back into eternity, you will take darkness back. You cannot frame eternity from a temporal time understanding. So don't try. Engage your spirit in eternity, not your mind. If you try and engage your mind in eternity, it will fry it. Because we're used to linear thinking. In eternity, it's all now. So don't take your head back there. I have revelation of his will, and it gets encoded in light. So in that light matrix of his creative thoughts and words, that's the true fabric in essence of who I am. I don't operate out of my memory. I operate out of what God shows me in that place of light. So you can stand in eternity and everything created is in front of you. And as you did that, it can be just black if you try and frame it out of your mind. And it will be empty, and you'll struggle to know what to do. Or it can be framed in light, and it will open up all the possibilities of that truth, that nothing is impossible in God, and I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. If we frame our reality out of God's plan and purpose for us, rather than the mess that we've ended up in. So God wants us to move beyond that, because it gets bigger and bigger. It expands and increases as God's kingdom does. So your ketubah will enable you to frame your life and not be subject to the circumstances around you. But you have to use it. Spend some time over the next few weeks engaging with God about that ketubah. Start to formulate it. Write it out. Then you can start to engage God under the covering of his presence and become joined with him in that new marriage in the new covenant. In our book of destiny as a church, you know, I saw a page which was gold edged with pearls and ornately inscribed in the corners, and it was really elaborately decorated, and it said this. It had a new season inscribed along the top edge and a ketubah under the hooper. You're invited to participate in the wedding of Freedom Church and the Lord. So we're going to have that ceremony. When we've got our church ketubah in line, I'd encourage you all to produce your own ketubahs. On that day, we're going to enter into a new dimension of relationship with God. So get ready. It's my encouragement. Get ready for that. So there's a sound that's coming out of heaven. Resonate with that sound. Come into alignment with heaven. Hope is the ability to hear the music of eternity. Faith is the courage to dance to it today. An end of the old and the beginning of a new year. We're at that point. This is the first Sunday in the new year for us. Old things you need to let go of, and new things you need to embrace. I'm going to read these out just to finish. But take note of them. And for your own life, think of the things that you need to let go of and the things you need to embrace in this coming year. So if you're holding on to something that doesn't belong to you and was never intended for your life, let it go. If you're holding on to past hurts and pains, let them go. If you're still affected by disappointments or discouragement, let it go. If you're still affected by being rejected, unsupported, undervalued, or ignored, let it go. If people have made you feel insignificant, unaccepted, and unappreciated, let it go. If you're still demotivated by your past failures and others' bad treatment of you, let it go. If your past is still negatively affecting your present and clouding your future, let it go. If you're demotivated by unfulfilled dreams, visions, and expectations, just let them all go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or an addiction, let it go. If you're holding on to a job that no longer meets your needs or talents, let it go. If you're stuck in the past and God is trying to take you to a new level in him, let it go. If you're struggling with healing of a broken relationship, let it go. If you keep trying to help someone who won't even help themselves, let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, let it go. If someone's angered you, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. If you have a bad attitude, let it go. If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better, let it go. Your sinful nature, let it go. Jesus dealt with it on the cross. Your iniquitous patterns, let it go. Embrace communion. Your negative bloodline influences, let it go. Your genetic seed line records, let it go. Your slave identity, let it go. Your slavery mindset, let it go. Your old religious mindsets, let them go. Your old earthly methods, let it go. Your own cynicism, skepticism, criticism, or judgmentalism, let it all go. If you're feeling depressed, stressed, let it go. If there's a particular situation that you're so used to handling yourself, and God is saying, take your hands off it, then you need to let it go. Let go of the past. Forget the former things. God is doing something new this year, 2016. So let it go. The battle belongs to God if you will entrust it to him. Your identity in God, grab hold of it. Your destiny in God, grab hold of it. Who you are in Christ, grab hold of it. The plan and purpose for your life, grab hold of it. Your inheritance in God, grab hold of it. Your spiritual gifts, grab hold of it. The fruit of the Spirit, grab hold of it. Your blessing, your forgiveness, your healing, your peace, grab hold of all those things because they belong to you. Your joy, your access to God, your debt cancellation, your financial blessings, grab hold of those things. They belong to you. Your breakthrough in God, your relationship with God, your intimacy with God, your anointing with the Holy Spirit, God's love for you, grab hold of it. Your heavenly encounters, your heavenly mountain thrones, your kingdom authority, your access into the heavenly courts, grab hold of all of it because it belongs to you as part of your inheritance. Your identity as lords, your identity as kings, your identity as sons, your marriage with God, your ketubah, grab hold of it and use it to frame this coming year to bring success and blessing into your life, to free you from the past, to bring an eternal perspective so that you can see God's purpose fulfilled in your life. The choice is yours. You can let go or you can hold on. The choice is yours whether you're going to embrace the new or keep the old. So I'd encourage you to develop a ketubah with all its hopes and expectations. Make 2016 the year when you begin to frame your life so faith becomes the substance of an eternal perspective of all the hopes that are available to you in God, that you'll find that fulfilled. Amen?
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit our website, freedomtrust.org.uk/A/R, where you'll find a whole range of resources. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and encourage others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? Is God calling you to partner with us? We'd like to invite you to connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. Freedom Apostolic Resource Center. We're here to help you and others find and fulfill your destiny.